A monumental night in the UEFA Champions League saw Arsenal rise to the top as they maintained their perfect start to the competition. They condemned Bayern to their first defeat in the league phase, whilst Inter also saw their 100% record ended by Atleti. It was another famous night for PSV as they stunned Liverpool 4-1 at Anfield to move into the top 16. Elsewhere, Paris and Tottenham played out a thriller in the French capital, as did Olympiacos and Real Madrid in Greece, with a certain Kylian Mbappe scoring all four for the Spaniards. There were goals galore wherever you looked across Europe. We'll get into it, all of it, over the next half hour or so on the official UEFA Champions League podcast. I'm Natalie Sawyer, and what a night of Champions League football we have been treated to, with just the 42 goals across the 9 matches. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the European football expert, Kevin Hatchard. And Kevin, not a bad night of action. We now have an outright leader at the top of the league phase, and stories galore right across the competition.
Yeah, and Arsenal deserve to be at the top, and we'll go into detail on that a little later, but that was a phenomenal performance from them in the second half against Bayern. PSV with a wonderful win at Anfield against Liverpool. That's a surprise scoreline that will make waves, and they fully deserve to win that game. As you say, Kylian Mbappe sensational for Real Madrid, and goals everywhere you look. Great stories as this league phase rumbles on.
Indeed. Let's run you through the results then. Arsenal beat Bayern München 3-1. Paris Saint-Germain were 5-3 winners over Tottenham. It ended PSV 4-1 at Liverpool. Atleti were 2-1 winners over Inter Milan. It was Frankfurt 0, Atalanta 3. Sporting beat Club Brugge 3-0. Olympiacos 3, Real Madrid 4 was the final score in Piraeus. And earlier today, it finished FC Copenhagen 3, Kyrill Almaty 2, and Paphos 2, Monaco 2. But let's start our review then in London. Kevin Hatchard and Richard Connolly watched Arsenal against Bayern München for Matchday Live.
Arsenal's first corner of the night, taken by Saka, right under the crossbar, and it's home by Jurrien Timber. The first corner, and Arsenal score. There's a statement for you. Timber with the flick header at the near post, and Neuer was beaten. Arsenal 1, Bayern 0. Diagonal ball here from Bayern to Gnabry. Beautiful ball and a goal! A wonderful goal from Bayern. The diagonal ball to Gnabry, and there is Lennart Karl, the 17-year-old, to equalise for the German champions. What a message straight back to Arsenal. They cut through them beautifully, and Karl on hand to level it up. It's Arsenal 1, Bayern 1. Here they come again. Calafiori on the ball down the left-hand side for the first time. Wicked cross, and a goal for Arsenal. Noni Madueke was there at the back post to finish it, and Arsenal retake the lead. Two substitutes combining. Calafiori maybe with a first touch, a magnificent cross, and Madueke puts Arsenal back in front. With 20 minutes to go, it's Arsenal 2, Bayern 1. Calafiori into the box with quick feet, but Arsenal didn't panic, and Martinelli got a toe in. And here's Ezza, back for Martinelli, over the top. Oh, Neuer's come out of goal, and Martinelli's gone round him. It's an open net, and Martinelli scores for Arsenal. What a counter-attack of lightning speed. Neuer came flying from his goal, and Martinelli was round him in a flash. Arsenal, with a two-goal advantage, are going to make this 5 wins out of 5. It's Arsenal 3, Bayern 1.
Terrific evening it turned out to be. Richard Connolly on commentary there, and he joins the show alongside Kevin and I. And it's just been an incredible evening, Kevin, for Arsenal. A statement victory that takes them to the top of the table.
Yeah, and all the strengths we're used to seeing from Arsenal, because I thought Mikel Arteta got his tactics spot on, allowed Bayern to have the ball early on, but kept their defensive shape. As Richard said in commentary, quite rightly, the first corner they got, they were able to score a goal, and it was a wonderful delivery from Saka. And we talk about set pieces with Arsenal a lot, and we talk about the design and the movement and all that. None of that matters if the delivery isn't good. And it is so spot on all the time from either Saka or Declan Rice. So he did that bit really well. Half time, I thought Bayern were in it. I thought they'd recovered well. Lennart Kahl had scored a great team goal. But it was just physical strength, great tactics, intensity. And when the chances arrived, they took them. They took them really, really well. And I thought the substitutions were right. Martinelli coming on to make the most of that high defensive line. Really a masterclass, really, from Arteta, and a phenomenal performance from Arsenal.
First side to inflict a defeat on Bayern Munich as well. Top of the Champions League, the top of the Premier League. Mikel Arteta is just turning Arsenal into a winning machine, Richard.
Yeah, I mean, he said prior to the game, this will be a great test for us to see where we stand. And they stand maybe even further forward than he dared to dream. Because as you say, they are leading the way in the Premier League. They are now the team to catch at the top of the Champions League. And this week, which began with a 4-1 victory over their biggest local rivals, has now continued with a 3-1 win against, you know, the form team in Europe. It will continue with Chelsea at the weekend, but it's a real double of victories for them here. And to play with the intensity that they've played tonight, so soon after a match of intensity at the weekend, backs up what we say about their ability to go again. And it backs up the point about squad depth as well, because each player that came on tonight added more and more energy, and there was no discernible dip in quality. They kept coming and they kept coming. They built up a head of steam in the second half with a series of corners that didn't deliver a goal, but really put Bayern on the back foot. And from that moment on, you kind of felt like the Arsenal swarm was across Bayern, that there was no way that they could come out of it.
Because let's not forget, this is a Bayern team that had won 17 out of 18. This is a Bayern team that went to Paris and beat the European champions. This is a proper team with one of the world's best centre forwards who did not have a meaningful chance in the game. And that's because Arsenal didn't allow Bayern to play the way that they like to play. They like to push high. They like to put teams under pressure. And at no stage in that second half were they allowed to do that. It was a really impressive team performance in the second half.
Well, a stunning result all round, really, for Arsenal, especially when you consider the other results that have taken place, the fact that they've beaten Bayern as well. This is a serious football team. Can they deliver?
Well, this is the question. We're not going to find that out in November, but we are going to find it out probably in April or May. And I think they can only do what they're doing, which is keep winning, keep racking up as many clean sheets as they can. They haven't managed that in this one, but defensively they look incredibly solid. And they will go into those latter months of the season, I suspect, with such confidence and with so many players who can make a tangible difference, that you've got to think they're going to be Premier League favourites and definitely live contenders to win this too.
I mean, they've been close, haven't they? 89 points two seasons ago in the Premier League, semi-finalists in the Champions League last season when they ran Paris Saint-Germain very close over the two legs. And Arsenal and Bayern could well meet again in the latter stages of this competition. You know, that's when we'll really find everything out about this Arsenal team. This is certainly another step tonight in the right direction for them.
This is what's fascinating about the league phase as well, because we have so many big hitters going up against each other. What it does is it gives you a few clues for the knockouts, because you will have knockouts where they've played each other in the league phase and they'll think, okay,
Arsenal beat Paris in the league phase last season, remember?
Yeah. So doesn't always give you the picture.
No team has gone unbeaten in the league phase, this new league phase of the Champions League. From what we're seeing of Arsenal, do you think they could do it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely they can. I mean, they are so well drilled without the ball. But what I really admired about how they played in this game was that they were quite happy to go direct and quite happy to go to Marino and quite happy to not just focus, not be slavish to what they would normally do. Eze didn't really manage to, in the end he plays that lovely pass for Martinelli, but he had to wait to really be involved. And the temptation after what they did to Tottenham at the weekend would be, get Eze on the ball, let's see what we could do with that. And they said, no, we're not going to do that, because if we try and do that, that brings in Bayern's greatest weapon, which is that swarming press, which just overwhelms all comers. Well, it didn't overwhelm Arsenal.
Well, to get through this league phase unbeaten, they're going to have to get positive results against Club Brugge, Inter and Kairat Almaty as well. Let's hear from one of Arsenal's goal scorers, Noni Madueke.
Yeah, it's an incredible statement. But we know the work that we put in every single day. We're sold together and we go into these type of games now with a real confidence that we're going to get the job done. And that's exactly what we did today.
So that was Noni Madueke, a substitute in this one, again showing the strength and depth Arsenal now have. Let's move on to the current reigning Premier League champions, Liverpool, who lost at home to PSV. What a win it was for PSV Eindhoven, Kevin. 4-1 at Anfield.
Yes, a phenomenal day for PSV. And they've done this a couple of times now, because they put six past Napoli. They've put four past Liverpool, started brilliantly. But the goal that put PSV in front and that they never looked back from was really well done. Mauro Junior with a great run down the inside left channel. Perfect pass, which took Van Dijk out of the game, took Konate out of the game. Kerkez can't get there on the cover to stop Hustil, who comes up with a really good finish first time. And then Dreyfus, who'd come on as sub, took his couple of goals really, really well. So, look, Liverpool were pushing for an equaliser. They got caught out a couple of times. And Peter Bosz, we know how attack-minded he is. He only plays one way. It can really compete with some big hitters at this level.
He's getting a tune out of them again, isn't he? I mean, when PSV started in the Champions League this season with a home defeat to Union Saint-Gilloise from their Belgian neighbours across the border, I think the feeling was in Dutch football, hang on a minute, if PSV are going to be losing to Union Saint-Gilloise, then, you know, the Dutch teams really aren't going to make much of an impression here. But PSV are starting to come again and build momentum. And as you say, when they get going under Peter Bosz, which they certainly did two seasons ago when they were a phenomenal side. Last year, they won the title by the skin of their teeth. But if they come again, they're still a team who can make an impact in this competition.
Well, knocked out Juventus last season, which was was a real statement win. I know Juventus, you know, aren't quite sparkling in the way they have done in years gone by, but still a really good side, and to knock them out was a statement. And then they ran into Arsenal, which is never easy.
No, but they lost, as you say, their opening game. They've been unbeaten ever since. And I suppose, and I'm not likening them to Paris Saint-Germain, but if you can ever use an example of starting a tournament slowly and finishing it well, is Paris Saint-Germain. And PSV find themselves in 15th right now.
Yeah, I mean, if they're in the top 24 at the end of match day 8, then I think they'll be pleased. And as we saw with Paris again, to continue that example from last season, they made their place in the top 24 secure only right at the very end of the league phase. It's not what you're doing now, it's what you're doing in April and May that really counts. But nonetheless, for teams tonight, and Arsenal and PSV are clearly two of them, two incredibly important victories.
Liverpool are still okay, but if you look at their next two games in this competition, Inter away, Marseille away, they are two incredibly difficult games. So Liverpool aren't in a bad position per se. They've got a lot of work to do.
Yes, and Anfield, normally a fortress for them, not so much this evening, but my goodness, PSV will celebrate what has been a famous victory for them. Let's move on to the game at the Parc des Princes, shall we, where the defending champions, Paris, needed a response after their defeat to Bayern München on match day 4, and they had to do it the hard way. They had to come from behind as well. Watching events in Paris was Match Day Live's Rob Daly. Rob, this one served up the drama of the UEFA Super Cup final in August, and it seemed to deliver once more.
Yeah, this was kind of a turbocharged version of that, and I'll try and do the story of this one. It's not an easy one. Twice Spurs led, with Charlison and Colin Mouani with those goals, pegged back twice by stunning strikes from Vitinha. But at 2-2, the defending champions then established control. Spurs lost the ball near their own box. Neves found Ruiz to score. That was 3-2. William Pacho pounced upon hesitant defending from a corner for 4-2. Down at the other end, then Colin Mouani decided, I'm going to score again. He took on two defenders and smashed that in. That was 4-3. And it felt like Spurs were back in it until Romero handled the ball in the box and Vitinha completed his hat-trick from the penalty spot. There was even time for a late red card for Lucas Hernandez after an elbow on Xavi Simons. Natalie, it was a game that had everything, and I'm pretty sure that was everything that happened, I think.
I think you've covered it off pretty well. Yeah. What we were saying there, of course, last season, we all remember how it took time for Paris to kind of get their way into this competition. My goodness, did they not end it on a high. But they certainly had to do it the hard way this evening and had to respond after that defeat at home to Bayern München last time out.
Yeah, it's a big win, and even when they were trailing, you felt they didn't panic. They were dictating the play by half time. They had two-thirds of the ball. They were just moving it around and waiting for their opportunities, and that was in large part down to the performance of Vitinha. He was Paris Saint-Germain's outstanding player. They had Ousmane Dembele on the bench after injury. He came on, so that's a plus point as well for them. But Vitinha's two goals were remarkable. I mean, he's so effortless in the way he moves the ball and the way he strikes it. His first goal, there's barely any backlift. He's got half a second and he pings it in off the bar, cut across his boot for 1-1. His second, he just drifted into the box and bent it around three players for 2-2. He actually gave the ball away for Kolo Muani's strike for 4-3 and had to apologise, was kind of apologising to his teammates. But I think he says something about his character, Natalie, because he missed a penalty in the shootout against Spurs in the Super Cup, and he took the ball and was like, no, I'm going to take this, I'm going to get my hat-trick, and took the kick superbly. One of Europe's premier midfielders, he was a joy to watch.
Yeah, Rob, just on Vitinha, you summed it up there well in terms of his performance tonight, but you look at his year in general, Ligue 1 champion, European champion, wins the UEFA Nations League with Portugal. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? Do we talk about him enough, do you think, when we talk about the world's best players?
I think we have to. I mean, there were moments as well where Spurs, who were really aggressive with their press tonight, much more than they were against Arsenal, and this is something Thomas Frank had demanded before the game, Spurs were all over him, and with him it doesn't matter. He just pirouettes and spins out of trouble. He's got that long hair and headband and little beard, and he just looks so cool as he's just breezing just breezing around the pitch. He's tremendous at 25 right now. He's hitting those prime years as well.
Are you going to start rocking up in a headband, Rob?
That is not part of the plan.
Okay, I'm just checking.
And I'm sure you could sport it well.
I'm sure too. Look, I'm not going to turn up in a Randall Kolo Muani jaw mask anytime soon. I don't know if you've seen what he's rocking now, but look, it was a big night for him too. You know, he's come back to his parent club. Things haven't happened for him at Spurs. He didn't have a pre-season training because of Paris's kicked a long season by the Club World Cup. Dead leg injury kept him out for weeks. Then he hurts his jaw against Manchester United. Fans fear he's going to be out for a while, but he's playing with this kind of protective shield on the bottom part of his face. And he was exceptional. His assist for Richarlison, the nod across goal, the way he took both of his strikes, especially the second as he just took on a couple of teammates and smacked it in, that for Spurs tonight is a major plus point.
Rob, thank you very much. Great to get your thoughts then on that game at the Parc des Princes. But let's move on to the one in Madrid, where Atleti ended Inter Milan's 100% winning start to this year's competition. They had to score a late winner as well from Jose Maria Jimenez, but a terrific victory for Atletico Madrid then, Kevin, who are unbeaten at home in all competitions. And we mentioned previously in the build-up to Match Day Live about how the home record may well be key for Atleti.
They really needed this. It's 9 straight home wins in all competitions. It's in keeping with what they've done recently, which is to add the results to the performances. Because I actually think when they were dropping points in La Liga in the early weeks of the season, they're probably playing better than those results suggested, really. But they are a really formidable team at home. Diego Simeone had asked for the crowd to play their part, and they always do. And when you've got Julian Alvarez up top, that's always going to present a danger. It's been a really tough few days for Inter. They've been on a really good run of results. Then they lose narrowly in the derby against Milan on Sunday night. Maybe a little bit unfortunate on the wrong end of a close one there, and they've conceded a late winner in this one. So that's a big test for Christian Kivu, just to lift this team. And they've got Liverpool next match day, and that's going to be an absolute cracker.
Oh, it certainly will be. Real Madrid beat Olympiacos in Greece for the first time ever. But my goodness, they were tested by the Greek side, who went ahead in the game early on. Kylian Mbappe will take all the headlines for scoring four goals, but the hat-trick in particular was scored in just 6 minutes and 42 seconds, which is the second fastest in Champions League history, a mere 30 seconds slower than Mo Salah's record that he achieved in 2022. But as I mentioned there, they were really tested, Real Madrid in Greece.
They were. This is why Kylian Mbappe is a world superstar and has been for a long, long time, because he delivers. He delivers goals. And by his own admission, although I think he's being hard on himself, he says he didn't start his Real Madrid career particularly well. I mean, far be it from me to disagree with Kylian Mbappe about Kylian Mbappe, but I think he's being a bit hard on himself, quite frankly. He has delivered goal after goal after goal since he arrived, not just last season, this season as well. And it's really important for them, because Xabi Alonso's trying to do something that doesn't generally get done at Real Madrid. And what I mean by that is, Carlo Ancelotti had great success with a player-led approach, in the sense that he would allow a certain amount of interpretation from players, he would allow a certain amount of flexibility. What Xabi Alonso's trying to do is he's trying to get that kind of collective in there, where it's partially about the system and it's about players fitting into that. There are going to be some growing pains in there. And if you've got Mbappe scoring in volume all the way through, that just allows that transition to be a bit more straightforward.
So Real Madrid won that one 4-3 against Olympiacos in Greece. Three goals is what Atalanta needed to beat Eintracht Frankfurt, but it was goalless at half-time. But then the three goals scored in a five-minute spell saw Atalanta take control of this game in Germany. Not a bad first night, it's fair to say, for the new boss Rafael Palladino, who was taking charge of his first Champions League game for Atalanta. The player of the match was Charles de Ketelera. Back-to-back wins in the league phase for the Italian side. So what does the player of the match make of their hopes of qualification?
Yeah, I think it's important also for the classification that now we have 10 points. It's a very good step. This two wins away against difficult opponents in difficult stadiums. So it's very important for the team and for the classification.
A great victory in the end for Atalanta.
Yeah, it was. It kind of all fell apart for Frankfurt, because they had Jonathan Burkart, who's their star striker at the moment. He kind of hobbled out with an ankle injury, and then the whole thing collapsed, and they scored three goals in the space of 5 or 6 minutes. And they played some really good football, actually. The goal that Lookman scores, which is the first one, was a lovely move down the right, great far post cross, and Lookman, who's had a tough season really, was able to score at the far post. Then Ederson goes through, manages to bundle it home, and then Scamacca strikes the bar and De Ketelera scores. But again, that third goal was lovely combination play down the left-hand side. Paladino's a good coach. He showed that at Monza, showed it in spells at Fiorentina. And they haven't really made a step forward without him. They made a step back. So shows the quality he has. And Atalanta under Ivan Juric, the data will tell you they weren't perhaps as bad as the results were suggesting. This is a big step forward for them.
3-0 then, Atalanta won at Eintracht Frankfurt, and Sporting beat Club Brugge 3-0. Three goals coming from Quenda, Suarez and Trincao, and it was a really, once more, an important victory for Sporting, who were seeking their third win and had won both of their home games so far. So three wins at home. As we always say, winning at home often can be key to getting past this initial first phase.
Yeah, and to give them their due, they've won 15 out of 20 competitive games this season, and they've been rock solid at home, as they often are. Rui Borges, the coach, has done a great job, because it's worth remembering Ruben Amorim left mid-season last term. João Pereira came in and didn't make any kind of impact at all. And so Rui Borges was the third coach they'd had that season. Stabilised them and they won silverware. Then they lose Victor Gyökeres in the summer. Luis Suarez has come in and is scoring goals and doing well. So they've done really impressive work, I think, not just in the Champions League, but domestically as well.
We can hear from the player of the match, which was Francisco Trincao.
Focus just with the ball and without the ball. We create our chances.
They have really good players to play on transition, but we managed that very well, and we created our goals, we scored, and we won.
Trincão then coming away with the Player of the Match award, having scored that third goal for Sporting. In the earlier kickoff, FC Copenhagen beat Kairat Almaty 3-2 to earn them their first win of this season's Champions League. But we want to talk about the game between Paphos and Monaco, which ended 2-2 in the end, with Paphos scoring a late equaliser. It now means they're unbeaten in their last three in the Champions League, and it is their debut season, Kevin.
I know we're supposed to be neutral, but you'd have to have a heart of stone not to have a soft spot for Paphos, because it's the first time they've ever been in the league phase. It was a big surprise them winning the Cypriot League in the first place, and they've gone from strength to strength since then. And what's really impressive is the way they fight back. I mean, they conceded an early goal in this one to Minamino, got their equaliser, David Luiz with a brilliant header, excellent delivery by Orsic and a super header. But then, not too long after that, Monaco score again. But they pushed so hard in that second half, and they fully deserve their equaliser. That's 6 points on the board for them now. They are in the mix for a playoff spot, and they are competitive in almost every game. Okay, Bayern swept them aside. Bayern are going to do that to a lot of teams. They're not the first. They won't be the last. So that can happen. But they've been competitive in a lot of games.
A result then that moves Paphos into 24th, the final playoff position. Quite remarkable. A reminder, Arsenal stand alone as the only side in the Champions League with a perfect record. That after beating Bayern 3-1. Let's hear from their Player of the Match, Declan Rice.
Yeah, obviously Bayern Munich have been incredible this season. Their record speaks for itself, and we knew the magnitude of the game tonight. You know, on these big Champions League nights, we just feel it, you know. There's something in our tummies that want to make us go out there and win, and we had that again tonight, you know. I think first half was an okay performance. 1-1 was probably fair, but second half, I think we was outstanding. I don't even think they had a shot, and that's what we got to do. It's what we got to keep doing to teams when they come to this place, keep suffocating them, and yeah, it was a positive night.
It certainly was a positive night for Arsenal, but perhaps the story of the night comes from Anfield. Let's hear from PSV's Ivan Perisic, who's not getting carried away with their Champions League hopes. That's after they scored 4 goals to beat Liverpool.
First of all, it's always to pass the group, and then we go step by step. You know, this is the we have to forget about these things. You know, as quickly as possible, concentrate on for the game on Sunday and. It's like this, you know, if you lose, you have to forget. If you win, you have to forget. You have to keep pushing, keep working hard. That's how it is.
Yeah, a fantastic victory then for PSV as they won 4-1 at Liverpool. Before we say goodbye, Kevin, Richard, I want your moments of the night from any of the matches. Richard, Kevin?
Oh. I'm going to stick with the Arsenal game, which is still very much fresh in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I hope I don't step on your toes, Kev, but the third Arsenal goal with Martinelli escaping past Manuel Neuer, who'd come surprisingly far from his own goal. But when Martinelli rolled that ball into the open net, that was the moment that Arsenal did start to believe that, yeah, OK, we've won this game against a hitherto unbeaten Bayern side. It was a moment that they will reflect on with great pleasure for some time to come.
The moment of unbridled joy on the face of the PSV coach, Peter Bosz, as the fourth goal went in, because he knows how high risk his football is. Even at 3-1, he wasn't sure they were going to get that win. So when the fourth goes in, even he believed they were going to see it through.
Yeah, terrific moments. Well picked out as well. Okay, what a night of Champions League football that we have been treated to this evening. 42 goals scored across the 9 matches. Don't forget, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night in this season's competition. My thanks to Kevin and Richard for their company this evening. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45 CET on Tuesday, the 9th of December, with all the goals as they go in across Europe on Matchday 6. So make sure you join us for that. Until then, from me, Natalie Sawyer, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's a goodbye from us.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.